2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Everybody, this is your DFS Army Daily Dispatch, CFL style, and I am your host, Boomer's Daddy. They call me Keith in the Slack channel, and joining me is my Canadian brethren, Scotty. How you doing tonight, bub?
Dude, I'm good. You know, I'm ready to break down some CFL. MLB's dead to me tonight.
Now that we're done tilting Major League Baseball.
Yeah, for sure. And
Gosh.
Yeah, I mean, last week, CFL, the opener, we did, you know, pretty well. And
yeah, I'm glad you did. I made a couple wrong decisions, and I finished just outside the cash line. It was mostly due to my stupidity-ness, because I made a couple stupid moves. I was thinking that some guys were going to go under the radar. And, they went under the radar, so much so that their coaches forgot they were on the team. So, yeah, when you get two zeros and you're only allowed, seven guys? Seven guys. And your defense gets lit up. Yeah, it was not a good – I made a comeback, but it was only thanks to the Edmonton Eskimos. Never thought I'd be breaking down CFL, dude. Never thought I'd be breaking down CFL.
Well, I'm right there with you. I never thought I would either, but, you know, I'm kind of starting to like it.
It was enjoyable to watch the games last week, man.
Yeah. I think a lot of it has to do with just missing football so much.
Yeah, I don't think it's that. I think it's, because I love baseball. I think part of it was, Stephen Moya. Oh, Stephen Moya. Part of it was I like the game. You know, I like the ability. You know, it's a faster paced game. It's quicker. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're talking about, they're playing for. I don't want to really say the love of the game, but you know, they're playing. They play hard and they keep going. I like some of the rules. I like the fact that, you know, you have to have a 1 yard buffer between the offensive line and the defensive line. It doesn't allow allows for more offense, which always is a good thing. But there's still some great defensive guys out there. The linebacker for Hamilton. I can't even remember what his name is, but he was just all over the field last week. Had a great game. And
yeah, I forget his name too. I don't know if that's Bowman or unless you're referring to the defensive back for Hamilton.
Yeah, he was like a linebacker, defensive back, dropped back into coverage. I think he had an interception and a fumble recovery.
Pick six and a fumble recovery, yeah. Actually forced the fumble. Then he hustled, got back, and actually recovered the damn fumble.
Yeah,
and like three guys were on top of it.
No kidding. But yeah, man, it was very odd to watch eight guys just kind of roaming around in the backfield and then all of a sudden just start sprinting towards the line of scrimmage. And, you know, that was fun. But yeah, it was a lot of fun, man. It was a lot of fun to watch. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I watched, that Thursday night, I watched the game on my DVR, wrote down a bunch of notes and stuff here, and came up with some interesting strategy, opinions that I want to run by
sure.
You when we get to that point.
Simone Lawrence, that is the guy.
Yep.
Top five. That you, if you go through the, I think it's TSN that put it out, or it was the top 50 CFL player list, and he was ranked like number, it's somewhere between 20 and 30 or some shit like that. But after his first interception, he was touting the cameras. He's like, top five, top five, top five.
So, oh, I thought he was yelling top 50.
No, he's like, top five, top five, because he wants to be up higher on the list.
Oh, I thought he was yelling top 50. No. So, yeah, and of course, you start to laugh at a lot of the stuff, and I tried to get Al in it, man, and he's like, yeah, it's so weird. It's not real football, and we did a pod the next day, and it was very interesting. So, all right, well, let's go over some of the stuff here that we learned. I've got a lot of things that I wrote down that I learned, the differences between this game and, you know, the NFL game, but some things that we can take and apply from our NFL DFS knowledge to, obviously the CFL. What are some of the things that you learned?
I just learned to not really target running backs that much.
Yeah, unless they return kicks. Yeah, that was the big thing. I think Chris Rainey was a big one. You know, for the BC Lions. You know, he had a big game last game.
Yeah, Rainey put me in cash pretty well because I was really huge on him because I liked BC's defense as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, I figured maybe they could put up some sacks, maybe a pick, hopefully score a touchdown, and via, you know, Chris Rainey. And Rainey produced. He got that touchdown, and that really propelled me up. I mean, because I got double points for that, and in a GPP like that, that's what you're looking for.
Yep, exactly. And, you know, you're talking about, you know, double or basically double dipping,
yep.
What we call double dipping, last week, you know, pair up, the return man with that defense. And, you know, if you get a return touchdown, then guess what? You're also getting it on the special teams defense and your player's getting it as well.
Yep.
Which is something that we can take. And as long as return men are in the NFL and they're rosterable, you can apply that theory towards GPPs in NFL.
Yeah.
Now, the funny thing is when you take Chris Rainey, he had one attempt for 1 yard and a TD.
Right.
But he also had one reception for 5 yards, but he had 150 yards.
So a point and a half there.
Yards, exactly. 151 yards and return yards with a touchdown. So that's where you're getting your value with these running backs.
Yep.
Is I would say target running backs. If you're going to spend anything more than, you know, 3,500 or 4,000, whatever the matchups dictate, spend that money and try to get a running back that can return it. And if possible, pair him with that defense,
right?
Because there's going to be points scored, but there's also going to be you can't. I always look at it this way in the NFL. I always look at it as, okay, my defense starts off with zero. Okay, what? Because, you know, there's so much scoring nowadays that, okay, how can my defense contribute points to where if they don't allow those points to get to zero that you're automatically given when the game starts, where that becomes an added bonus, if that makes sense.
Right.
Okay, so I want sacks, I want interceptions, turnovers, fumbles, and I want special teams. I want special teams touchdowns. Because if I can get that, and then it doesn't matter to me if they allow 30 plus points, because I wasn't counting on that anyways. You know, if they allow 27 points, I don't care because I wasn't counting on that. Now, obviously anything over 27, you start to go a little bit negative, which it kind of hurts you a little bit. But if you can get the interception returns for touchdowns, the fumbles, the turnovers, the 2-point conversions, the rouge or rogue or whatever they call them, the singles is what they call them on the broadcast.
Yep.
You know, if you can get a bunch of those, then you know you're talking about building up that floor, and that's really ultimately what you're trying to do.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of pissed at DraftKings this week for the CFL, you know, because if we're talking strategy and stuff like that, it's just they took the 2-game slate for Thursday only and used that for their bigger prize pools.
And did they really?
Yes. So they did the two-day slate, the 4-game slate, that's Thursday and Friday, and that's their smaller prize pools. And I don't know who in the hell is behind that, but please change that. Please change that.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
No, I know. So, like, for instance, on Thursday only, the Rouge, the $3 entry fee, for 2 games is a $15,000 total prize pool. The same tournament on Thursday, Friday, the 4-game, 2-day slate, the Rouge is a $5,000 total prize pool. Well done, DraftKings. Well done. I hope they hear it, too, because I'm pissed.
Oh, man.
They're supposed to be touting the CFL and getting interest in DFS for CFL, and then they go and pull a boner like this.
Yeah, that works. Yeah, I just built a lineup here in about 30 seconds, and I'm actually very, very happy with it, and I have $1,000 left on the table.
Yeah, don't be afraid to leave money left on the table for CFL, by the way.
Yeah, it's. I have a feeling it's going to, this is, the pricing hopefully will get sharper.
Especially on the 2-game slate.
Yeah, hopefully the pricing will get sharper as we continue to go through. And I really, really, really want to know kind of who's been behind the brains behind these. Because it's definitely, yeah, I just saw that 2-game slate. So, all right, well, the next thing that I learned, or the one of the things that I learned is to target guys, and we'll talk about him here in a little bit, target guys like Brandon Banks. And what I mean by that is this, is Brandon Banks, he ended up, let me see here. What was it? It was he's their main returner, basically.
Yeah.
He's their main return man. He ended up with 23.9 FanDuel points or FanDuel points, DraftKings points, but he had 4 receptions for 50 yards, so and a touchdown. He also had 198 return yards.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you're talking about guys that are not only, and if you compare him up with Hamilton's quarterback and Hamilton's defense, oh my God!
Yeah, I had that.
Especially if he scores a special teams touchdown and he's involved in the offense, you know, you're talking about now. You're not talking about double dipping. You're talking about triple dipping.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I like that.
Well, I was talking to one of our DFS Army members in CF in our Slack channel, and who was it? But anyways, we had he had asked me about, you know, the Tiger Cats and stuff, and I'm like, yeah, well, you know, you just want to stack Banks with their defense if you play him because you're going to double dip. And I said, I'm going Masoli, and I'm just going to load up on Ty Cats because, you know, that seems like the thing to do for DFS and for the CFL on DraftKings, and you know, it paid off. But we were talking about the $27 entry, that tournament, and I had 3 lineups, and I'm like, all right, well, do I get in this tournament or not? It's pretty new, you know, for DFS as far as CFL is concerned, and I'm just like, all right, if I put 1 lineup in there, I got to put all 3 in there, because you're going to be really pissed if one of them hits, or, you know, one hits outside of that, and the one you actually throw in there doesn't, right?
Yeah, it kind of works like that.
Yeah, so I know better, but you know what I did? I threw one lineup in there, and it was the wrong goddamn lineup, and the other one would have won me like $400. So I was like, all right, well, I'm an idiot.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of one of those things that, you know, you usually you have to kind of pay attention to exactly how you are constructing your lineups and based on the tournament sizes. And that's something, this is something that we talk about a lot. And this is where, I feel like my forte kind of is. Because I know that for, the tournament starting tomorrow, I know when it goes to 2,000 entries, how much I need to, you know, risk. Like how risky of my plays they need to be. And I also know that when I go up to, you know, $50,000 tournaments, how crazy I've got to get there too. It's just extremely hard right now to be able to gauge an ownership percentage, as far as players, because there's so little information. And that's one of the things that, as we go throughout the season, we will start to be able to gauge with better accuracy.
I think you can get a pretty good gauge on ownership percentage if you just pick up a few podcasts for the CFL, because, you know, the limited information that is out there is exactly what people are going to be listening to. And
I know
a lot
zero
of the same people
podcasts other than us.
Well, you know, I guess that's where people are just going to have to join up with the DFS Army, and we'll post them in our Slack channel. You know, I'm not going to put them in my article for free for people to see. If they want to see them, they can join up with us. You know?
What, our podcast?
No, if they want to view other people's podcasts, you know, if they want a list of other people's podcasts, I'll give it to them, but it's going to be in Slack chat. So.
Oh, that's fine. I just, you know, I just don't know. I know of like maybe three other articles, and
yeah.
I haven't heard of any podcasts that I would recommend actually listening to that has any sort of
strategy.
No, I wasn't going to say that, credibility.
Yeah.
That would be able to, I would even feel comfortable kind of leading our pack to. So, it's got some.
I can feel comfortable listening to art, like listening to podcasts from, you know, actual Canadians or something like that actually know the CFL. But my problem is that they don't necessarily know how it correlates to fantasy sports. So their podcast is halfway useful, but it at the same time it's like, well, you know, I'd like to know a little more strategy involved in that. Like, why are you picking this guy? How does he correlate to scoring you points on DraftKings?
Yep, absolutely. And I think it's something that, you know, as we go throughout the season, we're going to be able to get, you know, better and better at. So it's just kind of how we all start to adapt. You know, Roto Grinders is a big one that they have articles that come out now. You know, they're pretty much the go-to site for everybody that has any sort of, if there's a daily fantasy sport that's being played on one of the two major sites, they're going to have content for it. But you know, with some of these niche sports, that really does kind of lead you to where chalk is going to be. And that's where I would say, okay, everybody that they list in there, that's where I would say chalk is going to be.
I would say, and so, yeah.
So that's kind of the way to go. You know, and mix and match those guys. The first 4 weeks are going to be a learning curve for us. We're going to find out things this week that we didn't figure out last week. And we're going to find out things, you know, in week three that we didn't even realize. We're going to see things in these games coming up that, you know, we wish we saw in the NFL, but right. We're not going to.
Well, it's the beauty of variance of in football, you know.
Oh, there's no variance in football. Are you kidding me?
Oh, come
Everything's
on.
Set up.
Yeah.
The NFL would like you to believe that every team is set up to go 8-8.
Right.
So they can jump off of a bridge, right? All I care. So, all right, let's get to this game breakdown. Like I said, four games. We go through them, I don't want to say rather quickly, but we do kind of fly through them. So those of you that are listening to us for the first time, welcome. Congratulations, you have found the DFS Army. Now go give us your money. No, I'm kidding. We give out a lot of free information on the site. I know that we do these podcasts basically for free. It is 12:25 our time, and you will have this by probably 1:30 in the morning. So,
yeah, we give out all kinds of free shit too. You know, we've got we've got contests where we do T-shirts. You know, we give out T-shirts, give out decals, give out all kinds of stuff. You know, we do boards. Just like even if you don't even want to play DFS for CFL, just hop on and join us and get in and on a board, pick a number.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, we're gonna do squares.
Yep.
And that'll be a lot of fun. Also, something Kevin is floating the Jordan River over in Israel, and so he's halfway across the world. So
he's walking on water.
He's walking on water. You know
Literally.
What they say: when the cat's away, the mice will play. And we just feel like giving out a bunch of free shit right now. So we've got a contest that started for MLB. We're gonna have another one after the All-Star break. You know, it's just gonna be a lot of fun, and we might end up doing something for CFL next week. It's still something that I'm thinking. I want to see kind of what the drawback is. For all of those of you that downloaded the CFL podcast last week, we appreciate it. Hopefully we didn't screw up your lineups too bad, and we will we promise to do better this week. So, ready to get to it?
I am. Let's do it.
Awesome. Ottawa Red Blacks and the Montreal Alouettes.
Yes.
Ottawa is, man, you want to talk about the injury bug early. They're favored by a point. They're on the road this week in Montreal. This total is a 53.5, which is the highest on the slate. I think a lot of action is going to come from this game as far as ownership percentages are concerned. And I think the highest owned quarterback on the slate is probably going to be Harris off of Ottawa after what he did last week.
Yeah, he should be. I don't see any other way that he wouldn't be the highest owned one. I mean,
I'm fading him.
Yeah. I probably
completely.
Will too.
And for those of you that have never heard me before, you tell me that somebody, and you back it up with any sort of statistic or reasoning, and you tell me that he's going to be one of the highest owned, he's an automatic cross. I don't care if he's going against the little giants, you know. He's an automatic cross off for me. I want nothing to do with high ownership players. I don't care if they're in the best matchup in the world, in my opinion,
unless you're playing cash games.
And
I think I honestly think you can this week, and we'll talk about that later. But go ahead.
Jeez, Jake Peavy, did your mama know you freak? Oh, did you kiss your mama with that mouth? There we go. I don't want anything to do with him this week. I guess I kind of buy into that theory that, you know, the previous team was preparing for this other quarterback the whole time. And, you know, when he went down with the injury, and it was a freaky looking injury, he like received the snap, it bent his pinky, and jammed it, and they put him on the IR, and I guess the IR for CFL is 6 weeks long, so he won't be around for 6 weeks. Harris immediately
can't even give him a desk job with a bummed up
hand. I know. Immediately, Harris comes in, and the first pass he throws is like an 80-yard touchdown bomb. It was hilarious. It was absolutely hilarious. And I'm sitting there going, are you kidding me with this? Is this how this is going to be? This is going to be hilarious. Because it was like, in the second quarter?
Yeah, no, it was actually, I think it was like around the 8-minute mark of the third quarter.
Okay. So I knew it wasn't late in the game, but I knew it wasn't early in the game either. So, yeah, he did that in a quarter and a half. So everybody's like, oh, well, if he did that in a quarter and a half. Well, now you're talking about Montreal having all week to prepare. Yeah. And so it's going to be a different story.
I mean, to give the guy a little credit, I mean, he did spread the ball out. He really
they brought him in as a free agent after he led the CFL in passing last year. I mean, it's not like he's a scrub coming off the bench. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's a little bit different when your defense when the defense you're facing has the ability to prepare for you rather than for a completely different type of quarterback.
Very true.
So,
I don't have any problem fading him in any sort of tournament at all. But I might want some of his receivers.
Yes, absolutely. I will definitely want some
just
of his receivers.
Yeah, and I just want to make that clear. Just because we say that we might fade Harris, that doesn't mean that we're going to fade the rest of his team at all. So just want to make that clear.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I might not want the high-owned quarterback, but I definitely want the production from the wide receivers, especially if they're return men.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you're talking about that double dipping again.
I don't know if we can double dip on this one.
No.
I don't know if the defenses are somebody I want to target.
Well, exactly. And here's the thing. The only ones that you can really double dip on, just not even looking at the slate, just saying, okay, well, this guy's a returner and he might catch some passes, or, you know, are basically Rainey Banks. I think, is it Gurley? No, not Gurley. But there's really only like three people in the CFL that you can really double dip on. And they have to be in a decent spot in order for you to play that defense too. Or at least you think they're going to get some sacks and hopefully interceptions and maybe a pick six. But, I mean, that's really only it. I mean, so Rainey, a guy that didn't really produce last week either that is in that same boat is Stephen Logan. And, I mean, yeah, that's pretty much it.
There's definitely...
DK screwed up the position so bad. I believe Lawrence from Saskatchewan should be in the running back pool, but they have him as a wide receiver, and he returns kicks. You know,
I mean, Keenan LaFrance,
yeah,
from Ottawa.
Yeah, and I'm going to get shit from Canadian people, but I really don't give a shit because I don't do accents or anything. So,
There's some very interesting players. Sean Gore for the BC Lions. He had seven receptions for 67 yards. Still only $3,800. We'll get to him. There's some very, very interesting ones as we get through the line. There were actually technically only four wide receivers that got over 20 points last week. And none of them, if I'm looking at it correctly, are return men.
Well, Banks,
so,
wasn't Banks over 20 or not?
Banks got...
Or was he just under?
I think he was just under, if I'm not mistaken. He was at 23.49.
Okay. Because I think I had Williams, Carter, Banks, Hazleton, and I think S.J. Green was actually up there too for Montreal. But
yep. As far as wide receivers go for Ottawa, for his price, it's Sinopoli.
Yep. I agree.
It's Brad. It's Brad.
Brad Sinopoli. Yep.
it's Bradley S. And that's pretty much it. Actually, Chris Williams as well. Chris Williams for Ottawa last week had 8 receptions for 176 yards and 2 touchdowns. I believe that was, his long was the first pass that Harris delivered.
Yep.
Was that 71-yard touchdown. And, boy, the guy can fly. So I don't mind that at all. I've actually right now got 2 Ottawa receivers in my lineup, and no Trevor Harris. So
I don't disagree with you. I'm gonna have a lineup with Harris in it, but it's not gonna be my focal point.
Okay, let's talk about Montreal here a little bit. Vernon Adams. Should make his debut this week. He sat out after coming back from injury a little bit last week. He's a short yardage type quarterback, somebody that's going to run and scramble around, throw some short passes, short yardage situations when Montreal wants to go for it. Not that he's playable or he's worth anything. He's kind of like your vintage goal line back in NFL. But he is going to take away from the production of Kevin Glenn.
He could. I think I'm more on. I know he's chalkier, but Daron Carter.
He should have had
more points last week. He got a touchdown called back because some asshole got a holding penalty that should not have happened.
Yeah, and I think
the guy
wasn't even close
to the quarterback, and he for some reason held the guy.
Yeah, there was one other one that he had a big gain called back on. I believe it was because it was I don't want to say illegal contact. There was some other penalty. He had like a 45-yard gain, also called back in a later series. So, that was something. Man,
he had a couple of drops, but.
Yeah, that too.
It's always
and it's hard unless you watch these games, guys. I can't stress to you enough how important it's going to be to 3 of the 4 games this week are on ESPN2. The other one's on ESPN3, but 3 of the 4 this week are on ESPN2. And if you've got DVR, DVR them,
yeah.
Record them.
You got to watch them, otherwise you don't see stuff where. They get a touchdown called back, and you're like, well, you know, if you're just looking at their stat line, you see, well, they scored 14 DraftKings points. Well, guess what? They got a touchdown called back that was a 60-yard touchdown. You didn't see that.
Yeah, so, and it's so hard to find stats for CFL that it's something that you've really, really, really got to pay attention to. You're going to gain a huge edge just by, you know, watching the game. And I don't just sit there and watch the game while you sweat it. You know, record it, be able to fast forward, but watch the game and sit there with a pad and paper and just jot down some notes. Like, hey, number 28 for, you know, Ottawa has a burst, but the offensive line sucks. But he's also the return man, so he's playable, you know, or, you know, whatever you want to do. Just make sure that you jot down some things, because if you want to compete in these tournaments, I promise you, it's what I'm doing, and I promise you, it's not going to take me long to catch on. And if you want to compete, not saying that I'm anything to be able to compete with, but if you do want to compete and have a legit shot, because of the fact that the stats are so limited out there right now, you have to do more than just read articles and click on names.
Yeah, exactly.
So
moving into if you want to play a running back from this game, I actually like Tyrell Sutton. My reasoning for that is if you watched the game last week with Ottawa.
They fed him the ball.
With what?
They fed him the ball?
Yeah, they fed him the ball. And it was against Edmonton, so... Montreal.
Winnipeg.
Yeah, Winnipeg. So they fed Sutton the ball, but he's got the safest number of carries this week, I think.
Yeah, he was the CFL's leading rusher last year.
And he also catches passes.
And
in a PPR league, that is huge.
Yeah, that's something I was going to point out is he also catches passes. One other thing is, you know, 15 attempts in the CFL, that's a lot. You know, I think there was only one other running back that actually beat him, and he only had 19. So to get 15 carries in the CFL, to be contrarian, and we talk about this, pay up to be contrarian, 7,500, not a lot of people are going to pay for that because I've seen a lot of the advice around the industry that says, you know, you should not pay up for running back.
Yeah.
Okay, well, when everybody's saying
it's the most
pay
punctable
up for
position.
That, yeah, exactly. Well, I can go find value at wide receiver at any price. I can go in and I can put this guy in, you know.
Absolutely.
Now, is he going to produce is the question. So that's always the thing, and that's always the gamble that you're taking on. But if you want to go for a lower ownership player, then guys like Andrew Harris from Winnipeg and Tyrell Sutton from Montreal, who get, you know, close to 15 to 20 carries last week and could again get it this week, I mean,
right,
that's a way to steal some points.
Well, and Sutton had 13.5 fantasy points, and he did not even get in the end zone.
Yep, and neither one of them did.
Right.
You know, so
that's another thing to look at when you're looking at the stat lines. You know, did he get in the end zone or not? Well, if you think he can this week, you know, I mean, that's only going to inflate his score. So,
yeah, it honestly doesn't look like any running back outside of Chris Rainey got in the end zone last week. And Rainey's was a 1 yard little goal line snipe.
Right.
You know, those are huge, but Rainey's value comes because he's a return man.
Mm-hmm. My reasoning for Sutton, what I was trying to get to earlier, but I forgot. No, I just forgot my reasoning earlier, but my reasoning is, so if you watched the Ottawa and Edmonton game last week.
Yes.
John White from Edmonton,
mm-hmm,
did pretty well. He got carries. He got yardage. He got some receptions. I mean, they used him a lot. So I think if Montreal kind of goes with that kind of game plan, if they don't get down early too badly, I think Sutton's a great play. And especially, like you said, you want to pay up, be contrarian. I think he can have a really good game.
Yep, this is the highest total. It's a close spread. It's exactly kind of what you want.
Yep.
So Toronto and Saskatchewan. 51.5 is the total. Saskatchewan is a -4 favorite. Boy, the Argos, they didn't look good last week, brother.
No, they did not. And the total went down on this thing a point. And Saskatchewan's favored by a point more than they were opening up. So I don't know why that is, but I think Saskatchewan's going to run away with this one.
Yeah, I really, really, really wish I would have known that Ricky Ray had only taken 2 preseason series. Because I would have gone completely away from him.
Well,
so,
I'm glad you brought that up because so many people are going to be off Toronto this week that love. I actually have a Ricky Ray stack with Gurley.
He looked so bad last week.
I don't give a shit.
No. I'm saying in the first half, he looked so bad because you're talking about when you talk about quarterbacks and wide receivers, everything is timing. Well, you can't mimic a lot of that timing in practice. You know, you can't mimic game speed. No matter how hard you go, you just have that extra oomph on game day. And you can't mimic that in practice. So it just – everything just seemed like a tick behind the receiver or a tick out of their reach or, you know, the Hamilton, the Ticats defense was just getting to him just a tick earlier than he was getting rid of the ball.
Right.
And everything was just a tick off. And I think that Toronto actually comes out and has a decent showing. And I don't think that, I don't think they get embarrassed like they did last week.
No, I don't think so either. And I think if you were in Slack chat last week during about the time then that Toronto game was going on, and maybe in about the second quarter, I think I posted in there, I'm like, Ricky Ray going to hit water if he fell out of a fucking boat right now. Because all of his passes were like 3 feet over everyone's head, 3 feet out in front of him, and they just couldn't get to him. I don't know what the deal was, but he was just rusty. So I see it being a different thing. And this is actually one of my favorite plays of the week. And for a tournament, I'm going to have Ricky Ray in with Gurley, and I'm going to have him in with Hazleton because I think they're going to be playing catch up the whole game, and they're going to throw a lot, and I think they're going to get a lot of targets.
Yeah, and I think with how bad he sucked last week, everybody's going to kind of jump off of him and go somewhere else.
Yeah, I think it could pay off big. I mean, it might fall flat on its face, but it could pay off big, and that's what you're looking for in a tournament.
Yep, I love it. So let's go to Saskatchewan here because we obviously have talked about Toronto. Man, I'm kind of liking
Durant
a little bit, and a lot of that has to do with how bad that Argos defense looked last week.
Yeah, and I believe Toronto also lost their safety.
Yes.
So
yes.
That's a huge blow.
Yeah, whenever a team loses their starting defensive back, you have got to pay attention.
Yep.
So
the guys that you're going to want to look for with Durant are going to be Lawrence LaFrance, however you say his name. You're also going to want to stack with
Roosevelt.
Yep, Naaman Roosevelt. I just realized. I just realized I don't have them on my cheat sheet, and it's pissing me off. Because
yep,
I think it's because I was trying to rearrange stuff on there, and I wasn't used to it importing the salaries, and I wasn't used to the formula yet. So I was like trying not to switch stuff around too much. So
yep.
I had him in there and I deleted him to make room and
delete the names.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm just going to pair him with some of his receivers. I really don't like a running back for them.
No, I don't like any running backs from this game. My running back is coming from the next game. So, yeah, it's that one's going to be good. It's Thursday. It's right after the Ottawa Montreal game.
And also Saskatchewan's defense is playable. I know I said I love Ricky Ray in with the stack with his receivers, but I know that can fall on its face if it will, and the defense of Saskatchewan's going to benefit from that. So
if you would see my face right now, I'm shaking vehemently. I tried this word on this morning's podcast and it didn't work. Vigorously. I'm shaking my head vigorously back and forth. I do not like that at all.
You don't like
I'm gonna defer to you. You've done a lot more, but I don't like it.
Is it just because you've seen Saskatchewan's ratings for defense last year or
No, it's because I have a feeling that this game is going to be high scoring, a shootout, and I don't know what Saskatchewan's defense is going to look like as far as sacks, turnovers, and other things. I think Toronto's offense is going to be a lot better than it showed last week, and that scares me when it comes to Saskatchewan and their defense.
Well, my reasoning would be that Saskatchewan is actually going to be a better defense this year. They brought in a new coach for defense.
I'm not denying that at all. I'm definitely not. Okay. It's the what's black is white in me. If that makes sense, I don't think that Toronto, they had a lot of stuff going on last week. They're one of their biggest rivals was in town. They were opening up a new stadium. They had all these Argo legends coming out. You know, Joey Theismann was there, Rocket Ishmael, the little short shit dude that was jumping up and down at 65 years old was there. They were going crazy.
Oh, the Notre Dame leprechaun. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
That was Rocket. You know, all these different things are, you know, were going on last week. So their adrenaline was great to start the game, and then they lost it. I think being on the road, being away from all the distractions, they've had another full kind of week. I think that this Argos offense is going to start clicking, and I think that they're going to surprise a lot of people. But that's the tournament player in me. So if for tournaments, go the way that I'm talking and thinking. But but also take note that Scani he knows way more about it than I do. So
I don't disagree with you there. I mean, as far as tournament aspect, anything goes as long as it's a smart play and you have some reasoning behind it. I'm not just going to roll somebody out there just because I'm like, oh, I want to be different, you know?
Yeah, it's a game theory behind
yeah.
it.
No, I get your theory.
It has nothing to do with, you know, backed by statistics or, you know, deep analytical research or even having an inside edge on something that's there. It has everything to do with just game theory. So let's go to the next game here, BC and Hamilton. Hamilton, they looked good last week. They looked really good last week.
They did. And I would love BC this week, too, if they were not playing against Hamilton at Hamilton.
Yes. I like
Masoli. Masoli looked good.
Masoli did look good, and I don't mind him because he's got a little bit more of a floor built in because he's got that rushing ability as well.
Right.
Not
that Oregon duck, man.
Yeah, not that he's going to get a lot of rushing yards, but he's got that ability to move outside the pocket and create things with his legs, and that has the ability to allow his receivers to get open a little bit more because he can extend the play. The main plays from this game, as far as Hamilton concerned, obviously the top one is Brad Banks. He's involved in the offense more this year than he was last year, and he's their top return man. And we talked about him in length last week on the pod, and he did not disappoint whatsoever. That was one of the few good calls that I did have.
Yeah, and he's only $6,200 this week. I cannot believe his salary didn't go up more.
Yeah, his price didn't.
We always preach buy low, and I mean, still low.
Yeah, it's still really low. The other one in this game is going to be Chris Rainey. He's basically, like I talked about, he's their goal line, basically their goal line back. He's going to plow it in. He's also their top return man. 150-something yards, 151 yards and a TD last week, in return yardage. So. Yeah. That's something to pay attention to. And
I still think you can use him, even though, you know, we like to preach that, you know, it's been a common theme for the double dip for the return touchdown and the defense touchdown. But I still think you can use him alone this week. I think you can.
Yes, I think you can, too. I also think
because the salary is still low enough.
Yeah, I also think that you can use him with the BC Lions defense, and the reason I have behind that is this is still Jeremiah Masoli. He's still, from everything that I remember at Oregon, he still is a turnover-prone quarterback. And it's going to take more than one game to sway me from that opinion. Now, if he comes out and he throws another three touchdowns with no interceptions again this week, then I might just fall succumb to the fact that the BC Lions and the Toronto Argonauts defense both suck.
Yeah, I agree.
So, but I don't mind pairing him up with Chris Rainey up with the Lions defense. I also don't mind pairing up the Tiger Cats defense with Brandon Banks. Because they both looked like they caused some turnovers. They didn't get absolutely shellacked, and you know.
Yeah, I am actually I have a lineup with the Ticats D. I have Brandon Banks in there, and I have Chris Rainey in there. My thought for Chris Rainey is, okay, well, if he scores a return touchdown, he gets it, whatever. But it's not going to hurt my defense that much because I still think that the Ticats get a defensive touchdown of their own.
Oh, I know. I've got Rainey, Banks, and the BC Lions in my lineup right now. So
good.
I have no problems with that at all. Just because
I don't think many people are going to do that.
No, I don't either. And normally I don't like to take away from my defense and stuff like that.
Well, here's
but
the thing.
I think
when,
the upside
when
is
you're
just
looking
too much.
When you're looking at games that are 50-point total no matter what, basically,
yeah,
you're going to get points against your defense.
Yeah, and there's the ability to, you know, get turnovers and stuff. So as long as we have those defensives that have the abilities to create turnovers and get sacks and interceptions and fumbles, then, like I said, just automatically take those 10 points and just mark them off. Just don't even look at it.
For sure.
So,
and I think in this one of my main points, too, was, you know, like, Chad Owens, he's still affordable. He had a pretty good game last week.
Yeah, it seems to be more of a possession receiver. Yep. What was it, 7 catches for 60, 70 yards?
Yep. Fantu's had a good game, which was way under the radar for me from Hamilton. He had a touchdown. Yeah, I believe he had a receiving touchdown. He even got another one called back.
Yeah, he almost broke that.
I mean, they,
he almost broke that 100-yard barrier. So he almost did break that 100-yard barrier.
Another receiver for me would be maybe Nick Moore from BC.
Yeah, and Luke Tasker is also probably in play as well.
Yep, I said Tasker, but
Sorry.
As far as Nick Moore, I'm really off of Arsenal, I think, because I think Lawrence is going to be on duty of covering him. And if you saw what happened last week, you don't want any part of Simone Lawrence.
Nope.
So I really like the other receivers from BC, and that's another strategy we talk about all the time in football is, okay, well, you got a blanket, you know, cornerback, secondary guy, as an example, Richard Sherman, you know, the other guys are going to have to try to benefit from that. You know, the yards are going to come from somewhere.
Yep.
Maybe the Seahawks aren't the best example because they're all pretty goddamn good corners, but, you know, on a team that has like one good corner, you're probably going to lean to the other side of the field more. So.
Yep, exactly. All right, Winnipeg and Calgary, lowest total of the weekend, 49 points is your total, and Calgary, minus 10, man.
Yeah.
This game looks like
it got
we
worse.
Talk about NFL all the time. Calgary should be your number one defense if you're playing cash games, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree again. I mean, this game opened up at a lower total and a lower spread, and it got a higher total and a higher spread. So, to me, Calgary at home, fire them up.
Yeah, I don't have any problems with that whatsoever. Andrew Harris is he's in play. He's a dual threat running back, about as big as one is that you can get with with the CFL. I mean, you're talking a guy that he had 13 rushing attempts last year or last week and caught six balls out of the backfield. Had 120 total yards, and yeah, he had a pretty productive game. Didn't get in the end zone. Still had 18 fantasy points by not getting in the end zone. So
yeah, another thing we talked about earlier. You know, is he didn't get in the end zone, but he probably if I'm betting man, which I am, I think he gets in the end zone this week.
Yeah, I would say so too. So
and
anybody interest you
for Winnipeg as far as receivers or anything?
Yeah, that's what I was gonna ask.
I guess Ryan Smith might be the only one.
Are you going back to the Darwin Adams train, or do you think he just got lucky with that 63-yard touchdown?
I think he got a little lucky. The thing for me is Dressler got hurt last week. I mean, did you see that at all? I mean, he got his bell rung.
No, I didn't. He is out. It said will not play.
He took a shot, and I am so glad that I did not refer to him as a Wes Welker type receiver last week in my write up, because
that would have been even true.
Oh yeah, because I'm like, God, this guy is just like Wes Welker, and then all of a sudden he goes, like, I see him get popped, and he got popped, and he was down, and he didn't know where he was, and I'm like, oh shit, I probably should have wrote that in there.
Yeah, somebody that interests me a little bit is. It looks like, I really wish Roy Finch would have gotten more than, actually, Roy Finch could be interesting. He's still only 4,400. He had 140 yards returning last week. Now that's only good for 7 points, but I mean, I think he could possibly get in the end zone here for Calgary. And if you're stacking up Calgary and you need some value
with that defense,
I'm probably going and making a change right now. I'm probably taking BC, and I'm firmly making the change right now.
You're gonna
Now I have 2,200 left on the table.
Another great punt for me. He's still dirt cheap. Is Jace Davis for Winnipeg? I like him too.
I can't disagree with that whatsoever.
He was actually one of my calls last week for.
And he went. He was lower owned than I thought he was going to be too.
Yeah, and he produced some guys some money, including me. So, I like guys that win me money. So,
yep, that's always a good thing. I did not have him in my lineup, so he did not win me any money. So.
And I have Calgary as my, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6th ranked defense this week, and I think I'm going to have to change that. Just because I saw the way this total changed and the spread changed.
Yeah, Vegas is starting to really like this guy, or this team. So, all right, we do this on the baseball pod all the time. We call dongs. What we're going to do here is we're going to call touchdowns for wide receivers.
I like it.
Okay. And the qualification is this, is they have to be, they could not have scored last week. Okay. So they could not have scored a touchdown the prior week, because I just think that's taking a cheap way out.
Okay.
And they have to be under $7,000.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll let you go first because I'm trying to load some stuff up here, and I don't want it to cut out on my voice.
No, you're fine.
How many you want to do? You want to do one or two?
We're going to do two apiece.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Kenny Shaw.
Kenny Shaw.
Kenny Shaw.
I will counter Kenny Shaw and raise you a Daron Carter. He did not score a touchdown last week.
Ah, you son of a bitch. You son of a bitch. I'm going to go with my boy Roy Finch. I think he gets in the end zone this week. Boomer Sooner, baby. Boomer Sooner.
I'm going to go with Luke Tasker.
Ah! So you got Tasker and...
Tasker and Carter.
Carter. All righty. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us this week. We will come back next week and tell you how we did, and hopefully we did better this week than we did last week. So that's always the goal. Shoot up, go up, and let's have some fun this week. Sound good?
Sounds good to me. Check us out, dfsarmy.com. Hop in our Slack chat. We chat all week about all kinds of sports.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Make sure you follow us. Give us a follow on Twitter, at DFS Army. I'm at Boomers DFS Daddy. Scani, it is now, what is your new Twitter handle?
It is Mr. _ Scani.
Awesome. So it was your name, and I told you to change that. So promotion reasons, brother, promotion reasons. So we'll have a lot of fun with this Canadian football thing. Going forward, I think it's going to be a blast. We had a lot of fun last week, and we're going to continue to have fun all year long. So
yes, let's win some monies.
Yep, absolutely. I will, we'll holler at you guys later. Peace.
Peace.